Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's fantastic to have you here for another week of the show. Can't wait to get into this conversation. Now, this week we're talking all about the importance of culture. We've all heard that culture is important. We all understand that culture and having people aligned with that culture is critical to ongoing business success. But really, what is culture and how do we define it? How do we create it? How do we know if someone's a culture fit or not? I think it's probably worth a conversation to pull those things apart and really stick them back together in something that's useful, practical, and easy to implement. So I'd like to have a conversation about that. Now, one of the things we know, if we look at a thing called the performance culture matrix, we've got A players who are great culture fits and they're really good at their job. They perform their role really well. And of course, we want to do everything we can in our power to keep them there. We also have B players, people who are really great culture fits. They buy into the culture. They're really kind of on board with it, but they've got some skills to develop. They've got some training to go through so they can become really technically proficient in the role. Maybe they've moved from being a DA to being a receptionist. So they might've been great as a DA, but there's some skills to learn as a receptionist. And then we've got C players who are actually really proficient in the role, but they're not a great culture fit. And we can't always put our finger on it, but we know that something doesn't feel right. And they're the ones that keep us awake at night. And this is not whether someone's a good person or a bad person. It's just whether they're a fit for our business or not. Because as business owners, sometimes we tolerate things that we ought not to. And it's sometimes hard to really define those things that are really kind of grinding our gears. It's just an uneasy feeling sometimes, or it's the way that someone spoke, or it's the way that they interact with others, whatever it happens to be, the way they behave in the workplace. But we know that it just feels a little bit wrong. We can't always say this or that or whatever it happens to be, but there's a feeling around that. And then, of course, we've got D players. And D players are people who are not great culture fits, but they're also not great performers. And that's a bit easier to spot because the performance really is very obvious. But C players are very tricky. And they're the ones, as I said, that keep us awake at night. So I think it's really useful to understand what culture is, what it's not, how to create it, how to communicate it. And I'm going to talk today about the Culture Creation Telescope, which is a model I came up with to really think about culture as a series of lenses. And if you think about telescoping, you know, like the old sailors would have had the lenses that collapse on one another and, you know, extends out. That's the sort of telescope I'm thinking about there. And really, the way I think about culture is there's five lenses. And the five lenses really start with values. You know, it's really important to be clear about core values, what they are. Our core values provide a North Star, and we hear lots of people talking about values and being aligned with values. We know from the literature that being a values-driven business leads to greater commercial outcomes. You know, Levi Strauss, Zappos, others are really strong champions of having values-driven businesses, and they say that it's a commercial imperative for them to be values-driven. Not only does it provide better bottom-line results, but it improves the cohesion of the team. It improves the staff retention, it improves customer experiences and so on. Then, of course, the second lens is around the vision. And as practice owners or as business leaders, our job is to know where we're going, is to set that vision, to communicate that vision with as much clarity as possible so that people can buy into that vision. People can get excited about that vision and go, wow, this is fantastic. We're not just going to work and doing our job. We're actually part of something. We're creating something exciting. And I think that's a really important role for us as business owners to get behind and go, you know, what am I trying to do here? And on top of that, what am I communicating to my team? Am I excited about my own vision or not? Because if I'm not excited about it, how can I expect anyone else to be excited about it? So we need to know in as much technicolor detail as possible what it is we're trying to create. So that's the second lens of the Culture Creation Telescope. And the third lens is really about stories. It's about stories that connect. And I learned about this by reading a book called Legacy by James Kerr, who spoke really eloquently about the All Blacks culture. And the All Blacks are the most successful sporting team on the planet. And What you might not realize is that was not always the case. Back in the early 90s, the All Blacks were getting done and they were getting beaten quite badly. And at one point, the All Blacks culture was so bad that after a defeat, some of the All Blacks were found really drunk in gardens and so on. And from there, they had that moment of, we have to do something. And they needed to find a way to unite the team. And if you think about New Zealand culture, it's as multicultural in some ways as many other cultures. You've got your indigenous culture, you've got your Maoris, you've got your Polynesians, you've got your Caucasians and many others in there. And so the way to bring people together was to tell stories and to connect through story, because that's how as human beings we've been connecting through millennia. And so it's about stories that connect. And the fourth lens and the fifth lens are very closely related. It's about habits and behaviors, or behaviors and habits. Lens four is behaviors and lens five is habits. And how we show up, what are the things that we do? How do we understand our behaviors and whether or not they support the values is really, really important. And similarly with habits, they're very close cousins of one another. But one of the habits that I think about the All Blacks when it comes to culture is their haka. It's a unifying habit. It's what they do every single time they go onto the field. They do their haka. One of their behaviors is that they always sweep the sheds after every game. They're humble and they demonstrate that humility by cleaning the sheds. And so when we think about culture, it's really useful to think about culture through these five lenses. But today I want to talk about the first lens, and that is values, because I think values is where it begins. And as I said, we've all heard the importance of values. We all get that a values-driven business improves the bottom line. We all understand that we want to have people aligned with our values. And as I said, it's not a matter of whether someone's good or bad. It's about fit and alignment. We could have someone who's a really nice person who's a C player. They don't buy into our culture, but that doesn't make them a bad person. It just means they're not the right fit for us and we're not the right fit for them. And so when we talk about values, I think it's really important to understand, how do we create values, but then how do we communicate values? Because I think that's really key, is we want to not just have this value statement on a poster that's gathering dust or something that sounds really grandiose and inspiring when we created it, but it doesn't translate into anything. So today I want to talk about how to create values, how to articulate your values, and then how to communicate your values with those people on your team and with your customers. So let's talk about that. So when it comes to values, oftentimes we hear words like excellence, integrity, and all those sorts of things. And those are great words, and I love those words. There's a lot of power to those words, but in and of themselves, they don't mean much. So what we need to be able to do is, as we start thinking about values, is to think of these words that might be something that we want to represent us. And some of these values might just be pay to play. They might be just assumed, you know, like integrity, doing the right thing. That could just be assumed. It might not have to be a value. So in our business, integrity is kind of the entry point. You don't get to be on the team if you don't have integrity. So it's not one of our core values in a sense, but it is the minimum requirement before you're even allowed on the team, right? So if you don't have integrity, you're not coming through the door. So I think what you've got to be able to think about are, what are those pay-to-play kind of values? What are those things that are just baseline, basic human decency kind of values? And then what are the things that you and your practice want to be known for over and above that? So for us, integrity is a baseline value. We all have it, we all expect it, and if you don't have it, then you're not on the team. So we go beyond integrity is what I'm trying to say. So you're going to need to think about, what are those pay-to-play values for yourself, but what are the values that make sense for you over and above that? Now, you might be thinking of values such as innovation, you might be thinking of values as humility, you might be thinking of values as confidence, whatever it happens to mean for you. But once you've figured out those words that, you know, you mean something, we've got to think about what that word means to you, because for some people, excellence could mean just clinical work. For others, it could mean the patient experience. For others, it could mean everything. And we want to think about these values from a couple of different perspectives, how other people might experience excellence in our practice. Whether you're a patient, what does excellence mean as a patient? What does excellence mean if you're a team member? How do we live those values as a team with one another on our team? If we're the owners, how do we experience excellence? And then, of course, anyone else, other people that interact with our practice, how do they experience excellence? So we need to think about these words from a couple of different perspectives. And once we've thought about that and digested that and articulated that in ourselves, we've then got to synthesize that down into a bumper sticker or a catchphrase. And maybe for us, it could be, excellence is by really understanding the detail. Excellence is in the detail, doing the little things right. that could be your definition of excellence. It might not be yours, but that could be a bumper sticker for you. So we've got to be able to think about excellence from all those different perspectives and then synthesize that down into something that is practical and usable and something that we can communicate. So we want to be able to look at those. Then, of course, what we need to be able to do is we need to be able to explain excellence, and we need to be able to explain our value to our team members. Now, in our business, we have what we call a state of the company meeting every quarter, and every quarter we are articulating our values, but we talk about our values many more times than that as well. But the reason we talk about these so much is because we want everyone to know what those values are. We want them to know what behaviors support those values, and we want them to be able to kind of not quite roll their eyes when I talk about it, but we want them to be so much part of our DNA that everyone's going, yeah, Jesse, we get it. We understand. Not just that we're hearing this for the first time, or we're not just hearing this for the first time since the last quarter. So when we communicate values, when I do my state of the company address, what I'm talking about is I'm trying to give a story around excellence. And I might say, tell a story about a sporting person because I love sports. So I might talk about Roger Federer or someone like that, or Steve Waugh, someone who's a sporting hero to me, or another example that makes sense to you. Maybe it's in the arts, maybe it's a musician, whatever it happens to be. And then I'll give an analogy. And for me, as I said, excellence is in the details about doing those fundamental things really well time and again. So that might be something that I would use to describe excellence because that's my bumper sticker. But then I'm going to give examples in our practice of what that looks like. You know, maybe it's about making sure our clinical work is, you know, spot on. Maybe it's making sure that we do everything that we say. We follow up on all the things that we say we're going to do. Maybe it's making sure that our lab gets the best possible communication from us, whatever that means. And so then we've got to talk about the individual behaviors. If you're a team member on our team, how do you behave in a way that exhibits excellence? So what are the behaviors that would indicate that you are embodying the value of excellence? So maybe it's things like finishing what we start, following through on what we say. Maybe it's about not rescheduling. Maybe it's about running on time. Maybe it's about quality assurance and cross-checking things to make sure that there's no errors. Maybe that's what excellence means in your practice. Maybe they're the behaviors. But then here's what I also do, and I think this is important. I talk about the anti-values. What are the behaviors that would absolutely undermine the value of excellence? What would be the behaviors that I would don't want to see? Things that would really kind of grind my gears as it relates to excellence. So for me, it might be something like near enough is good enough, being a bit slapdash with things. Maybe it's about thinking that nobody will notice when they do. So I think when we start thinking about values, we've got to be able to communicate the values in a very clear, concise way. If we just had a poster that said the word excellence on it, you kind of go, yeah, that's great, but it's a bit vanilla, it's a bit nothing, it's a bit meh. So we want to use values as part of our culture creation telescope, the very first lens, but we want to bring them to life. We want to make sure that they're vivid, and we want to have a vivid vision, and we want to have vivid values. And so the vivid values really is about putting them on a bumper sticker and then really bringing those values to life with a story, an analogy, some examples, the behaviors that would underpin those values. And then, of course, the anti-values, the behaviors that would undermine those values. And when we explain that and the team get that, we're now telling them, showing them about what's expected. So now we can have conversations about whether someone's a culture fit or not. Do they exhibit our values? Do they buy into our vision? Do they display the behaviors and the rituals or the habits that would underpin and support our values or not? Are they a culture fit? Do they get it? Okay. And so then once we know whether someone's a culture fit, we know whether they're an A player, a B player, a C player, or a D player, and we can then put in place a performance plan that helps them become an A player. And if you've got someone who's not a culture fit, then there's conversations to be had about that. And there's conversations that need to be had about, are you going to be able to buy into this culture or not? And if someone's not going to buy into the culture, then respectfully, with care and love, that person should not be on your team. And you probably know that because you're the one lying awake at night thinking, my God, this person isn't quite right. They're great at their role. I like them as a person, but you know, there's just something that doesn't quite feel right. That's the person you need to have a conversation with. That's the person you need to make sure that you've articulated the behaviors, the habits, the values, the vision, and of course, the stories. So we've got to make sure all of this is right. And only then can you be sure whether a culture fit or not. And only then do you know what to do with those team members? So I hope you find that helpful. I hope you find that instructional, because Being values driven, having culture fit, is going to be a key factor in your success in the long run. And if you get this right, you're going to have a team that's aligned, you're going to have a team that's productive, you're going to have a team that is harmonious, and you're going to get so much satisfaction and joy out of your work. And I guarantee you that if you want to have a practice where you're making money, you've got the time to enjoy the life that you want to live, and you've got personal fulfillment and satisfaction, then having a team that's aligned with culture is going to be critical to that. So I hope you find that helpful, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Savvy Dentist Podcast. So take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.